If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to DragonCast.
Do you remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA. Hey Dragoncasters, hope you are well. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
And this is one of our bonus episodes. We're covering the OA, part one, episode six. A brief recap of it. It was quite action-packed for the OA, actually.
Yeah. It's a weird episode because it's really short, but so much happens in this episode.
And actually, apologies to listeners, I think we've been getting ourselves tied up in knots a little bit over how many people are in the cells, and who's got the parts and who hasn't. So Renata is down there. And I think there are five of them down there, aren't there?
Yeah, I think so.
That's one thing I realised from watching this. We thought there was still a spare cell, but that there isn't. I don't think there's Prairie, there's Homer, there's Scott,
Renata,
and then Sharon Van Etten.
I can, for some reason, think she's called Rachel, but I think she just looks like a Rachel.
Rachel, yeah, no, you might be right, actually.
Just looks like she has Rachel energy. I don't know.
So they are all full. OA got the first part, Homer got the second part, Scott got the third part, and in this one, we learnt over the following 3 years that has passed since chapter six, episode six, Renata has got the fourth movement, but we don't actually see that happen. Unless I'm mistaken.
No, we don't. It's just done in a recap.
Because I was a bit kind of like, holy shit, I completely.
It's a really interesting show because any other show would show you every step of the way. And they just have a real confidence with like, okay, Renata's got the fourth one. And you just sort of go, okay.
Oh, okay, fine. Cheers.
Cool.
Thanks.
Great. Good to know.
And we learn that, and I think it was something you were alluding to last time we discussed this, what the scars were for and how they were. No, I was kind of like, how the fuck did they, we discussed about how they remembered them. And I was like, well, surely over 3 years you'd remember, you'd just do it so often.
Yeah.
And then actually as it transpires, they are scratching them into their
skin.
Carving the movements into their skin.
The scars very early on OA. And I just thought that was a really interesting thing that they never came back to. And I think in the last episode we filmed, I was saying that I thought that maybe when you travel interdimensionally, you get some kind of like scarring. You know, like when lightning hits a tree and all the, you know, the vessels kind of get scarred. I thought it was kind of like that. And then last episode we saw them drawing the symbols on condensation. And I did sort of think, oh, are they going to have to start carving them? But again, rather than show us them come to that decision, it just goes, we've carved them into our bodies now. Which I just, admire that sort of, I don't know, it's just quite elegant storytelling, I think.
It is.
And
obviously, and it kind of, it it's very clever in as much that it has an innate sense of where our minds will be and what questions we would be asking.
Yeah.
Because funnily enough, you know, at the end of episode 5, you were asking exactly the questions that got answered right at the beginning of this episode.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do they remember? Where's the fourth movement? How many people are in the thing? You know, and then the same for me was just like, well, surely if they're doing all this, can't Hap just be doing him at the same time? And then we realized that, yeah, of course, Hap is up there.
Yeah.
In tandem with them, learning all of these moves. And then, of course, your mind then goes, but what happens when they get the fifth move? How are they going to keep it a secret? How are they going to learn the final move without letting Hap know? And that is pretty much what this episode's all about.
Yeah.
But I guess the main bulk of the episode is Hap. It's a Hap.
It is.
It's a Hap fun-filled episode, because we learn that Hap, whilst Hap seemingly is alone in all of this and seems like this kind of Dr. Frankenstein kind of mad scientist, he's been working alongside his peer, I guess. Like, I got the impression that he's like a teacher, a guy called Leon.
Yeah.
Like his former mentor, I think he's described as, in a city. I don't think it's really told. We're not told where it is, but in like a main city in a big hospital where this Leon is performing NDEs as well. But the main point of difference being is that, you know, Hap asks him at one point, how do you stop getting attached? And he's like, well, you know how I stop getting attached. I fucking kill him and just move on to the next one, which is like, wow, okay, fine, fair enough. I mean, he's got the means to do that. He's taken over. How many hospitals have got empty morgues with incinerators?
I was going to say, the conversation happening in a morgue, I thought the irony of him just being like, just shove them in here. And it's there's something so grim about them talking about people so...
Yeah. Like as if they're rats. You know,
like lab rats.
Rabbits in a lipstick.
He says about, he has a dream about a rat being trapped in a mouse trap or something, doesn't he? He says to Leon.
That's right.
I think it was Hap.
So... But clearly, and this is something I don't know if it was something I took away from it, was that actually that the reason Hap is having, clearly, you know, as we learn, Hap has had far more success than Leon has.
Yes.
And Leon is angry about that and wants to know exactly what's going on. Hap then realizes that he needs to hide, all the rest of it, because this Leon's to Hap, this Leon's fucking nuts.
Mm.
The point of difference in that, having that connection and making them repeat their NDEs and to learn from them and discuss them, is exactly why he's had the results he has, rather than this Leon just kind of like, right, you're useless to me.
Yeah. Like I'm using the term loosely, but his empathy towards his prisoners is probably what's allowed them to get to where they are. And my theory watching this was, oh my God, Hap is going to get the fifth movement, not Rachel. And so they're going to have to form some kind of
a unit
with him. Because what I thought was fascinating was, and I think OA sort of mentions it in one of her voiceovers, is he has the entire internet as a resource to like cross-reference all of this, and they don't. And it's really fascinating.
See that from... He shows that. Was it in this episode or the prior episode with the rings of Saturn? I think that was in this episode.
He had a
right?
desk where there was just loads of... Yeah, I saw loads of stuff. I didn't pause it, but there was just like loads of things around.
Well, the OA where Prairie goes and... Oh, no, it is in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
He displays that where she goes into an NDA and he records a sound.
Yes,
trying to hide. She's trying to go, no, I didn't hear a sound. And he's like, no, you heard a sound. Plays this... I mean, that's the big leap of faith. There's a lot of leaps of faith in the OA. But the big leap of faith I have is that they go into this place and he's able to record the sound of it. That's never really explained.
I'm
you just
like...
have to kind of like, okay. But anyway, he kind of like recorded the sound that she heard in his NDE. She heard in her NDE.
Yeah.
And it turned out that and this obviously has huge ramifications for where the rest of the series goes and the other parts go, is that here we are again. It's a fucking multiverse. It's a time travel. It's a something. It's a bit interstellar.
Yeah.
Was that in her NDE, she apparently ended up in the rings of Saturn, which is a bit kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, cool. I couldn't understand. I mean, it's weird because I think like the beauty of the show is how, as mere humans, we can't process the scope of it. And then when they go, you were near Saturn, you're a bit like, oh, okay. Like, no, what?
You can. It's just really far away.
But also it's like, I've recorded it and you're like, I don't think there's any sound in space. Yeah. And then you're like, also, what file? I can't open a fucking PDF on this laptop. And you're telling me you got a sound file from the fucking moon
to play on your iTunes.
Yeah. Like, I don't think so. You don't. As soon as they show their hand, you do find yourself going, what?
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm like, sure, I'm willing to go along with it. But it's interdimensional.
You have to with the whole thing, don't you?
For sure.
You just have to kind of, you know, like, fuck it.
But this is the point, though, where it starts to show its hand and you start to get answers and it's like, this is what it is. So am I right in thinking that she kind of is mentally sort of is transferred over to space? She's in space. She's like across...
I think that's the inference, yeah. That you're everywhere, everything everywhere, all
everywhere, 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 everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's
the thing, is that it transcends space and time.
Do you know there's a thing in a lot of sci-fi shows or comic books called astral projection, which is a phenomenon where your physical form remains on this plane, but your consciousness, you can sort of travel and send yourself. That's kind of like, you know, Doctor Strange.
Are we talking about gong baths again?
Yeah. This is when I have my gong bath. I just left the house in Walthamstow that I was at. But, you know, on Lost, for example, the kid Walt, who left the island and kept coming back, that was astral projection, where he can sort of just transfer his consciousness to other places. And it sort of made me think of that. It's very sort of popular. It's like you take a sheet of paper and you fold it. That's what astral project. It's like going from A to B in a more condensed way that defies.
It's the wormhole.
Yes,
thing,
exactly.
It?
Yeah. I thought it's very like it's very compelling, and they talk about she talks to the group in the present day Prairie OA about how it happens, and she said it's sort of invisible, and you kind of experience an entire existence like separately or something, right?
Compelling's the right word. You never left without wanting to know more, which is. I've enjoyed you watching this because your interest has kind of only got more intense as it moves along, which is great. I hope that continues.
I think it's the premise has just got more and more compelling. I think as a show, the way that they handle the sort of source material, the developments, the character, like. It is sort of unlike anything I've seen. And I really, every other show would be like, this episode, we're going to show you them carve the etchings into each other. This episode just decided to be like 30 minutes. They got more story in and it felt really fulfilling and really satisfying. And I just don't know. Very of its time, I think, just when TV was allowed to sort of just go whatever direction it wanted.
Just breathe in whatever way it wanted, And it's, you know, and it moved the story along as well, because we had all of that. Yeah. And then we have Hap kind of like, fuck it, let's run away together. You can heal people, make some money, and kind of like, Hap's on the run now a little bit. He's
scared.
There's a sense for him that time's running out. You know, so he says, you've got the first two movements. We know that can bring someone back from the dead. Let's just go and set up a clinic in the mountains somewhere and you and I can just work on it. She says no. And then, you know, great fucking cliffhanger. Finally, you know, it's teased a couple of episodes ago. The cop comes back and discovers the hostages, and we last see him kind of like raising a gun towards Hap's head.
So, okay, I don't think this is like, I don't think this is a huge shock, but my prediction is, so we know, all we know about the policeman is that he's got an ill wife, right? So I think Hap's going to be like, we'll bring bring her and we'll fix her. I thought this was going to be about them preventing like a terror attack. like a bombing. I thought there was going to be, I thought about two episodes ago that like the whole reason they were learning this was so they could prevent some like something. And now I think actually what I realized is that healing is a byproduct of a greater thing. Because healing is what you can do with two movements and they're trying to get five. So my understanding, I just thought, oh, it's so that they can, but no, I don't think that is that. I think there's something different. I don't know, something interdimensional definitely. But I think that they're going to get out of, they're going to try and heal the woman. Maybe the woman, the policeman's wife has the fifth movement.
Maybe.
I just think it's not going to come from Rachel because I feel like she's not said anything. And like, if she's going to do anything, she would have done something by now. And I think...
A lot of what you say there is good. Some of it.
Okay.
But we hardly saw any of the present time.
I thought this episode. Yeah.
I think the next episode that they've stretched it out a bit so that we don't, because we are heading swiftly towards something, some kind of finale. It just takes them. As actually, you know what? It's quite common, like you say, of its time. Series used to do this. You remember, I think, and again, Lost, I think, used to do it quite a lot, where you were just heading towards like something and it would take a step back and like do a flashback episode. Mm. You'd be like, no shit, I just want to see what happens there.
Yeah.
I think we're going to head into present day for the next episode.
It feels very indebted to shows like Lost that.
Yeah.
They sort of train you to want one thing and then they sort of subvert that.
But yeah, great episode. Loved it. We've two more episodes left, which is fab.
I can't believe it. I'm really looking forward to it. The other theory I have is that they're going to fuck up the movement and cause more damage than they.
Oh, God.
And then next season
they cut the blue wire instead of the red one.
Yeah, I sort of think there's something about this that it's like. The extent of getting it wrong has not really been explored yet. And so part of me thinks, you know, give and take away these incredible forces. It all means nothing. What's the threat? What's at stake?
Yeah.
It could be the universe collapsing on itself or I don't know.
Who knows?
You do, presumably.
Well, I do, but you know what? There's so much I'd forgotten. Again, bit George R. R. Martin. I know it ends, but I can't remember how they get there. I had completely forgotten about this episode.
Really?
I'd completely forgotten about Leon. I remembered as soon as it came on, I was like, oh shit, of course. I still genuinely cannot remember how they get the fifth movement or indeed if they do.
Ooh. Do we know? Okay, I have a quick question before we go. So two movements, they can heal people.
Yeah.
What happens if they do three? What happens if they do four? Do we have a sense of like what is it like? Get different powers or not?
I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know if it's explained.
No.
Feels
like something maybe. They probably wouldn't bother explaining. But at the same time, I'd love them to just go. Level three is you can.
Or maybe she, maybe that trans. Maybe the rings of Saturn is she's stepped. She's leveled up to where she can get to.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Something to think about.
Don't know. In fact, if anyone's listening. That knows that's followed us on our OA journey and has been reading up on it, then let us know. Really interested to hear from you. And a lot of people have been. I'm really pleased that we've dragged a fair few people along with us on this OA journey. It's been good. You know, a lot of people have gone. Oh, yeah, really enjoying it. So
it's been really good.
Like I say, so we've got two episodes left of this season. Then part two begins. Part two is a very very different beast. It's fucking crazy. It's just batshit crazy.
Interesting. So, that adds credence to my theory that something really goes wrong and it goes into like a whole new.
Let's find out. We've only got two episodes left, so in 2 weeks time, by the time we hit the end of February, you will know. I've had it presented to
Okay,
you.
Well, so. Lots to get excited about then, so...
Exactly. Let us know what you think, dragoncast@daftdoris.com or just @dragoncast_pod on the old Twitters, and we will see you next week. Until then, Chris...
Yeah, what he said.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter at @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Drakaris.